Charlotte Soccer Show is back. What's up? It's Danny Brams here for a solo episode, although do I have a special guest joining me momentarily. It is just hours until decision day kicks off in Major League Soccer for the 2025 season, and there are so many things left to be decided. Like I said, I got this very special guest about to welcome in, but before we hit him, I want to tee up a quick soundbite from Brant Bronico this week as he talked about the upcoming weekend and just he says it's the team's mission to go out and win there because we got to win this one, y'all.
Yeah, you know, it's no secret that top four gets home field or at least two home games if you don't end up winning the second one. So it is important for us to get the win this weekend. You know, obviously, I guess we still could get a draw, but we'd have to rely on other results. We've just kind of been relaying the message like, you know, it's our job to win this weekend. And we like to take it game by game, but, you know, there's no better test than the team that just won the Supporters Shield right before playoffs.
And if you're talking to Brant Bronico, you got to bring in his old buddy, Dax McCarty from the Chicago days. How you doing, Dax? Welcome back to Charlotte Soccer Show.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again. Great soundbite there from BB, as I like to call him. He's right. Massive opportunity for Charlotte to secure that fourth seed.
Yeah, it is a very tightly packed table in the Eastern Conference. It has been all year, really. And we'll call it up now as we look at sort of where things stand and who's playing who. Very handy graphic that the graphics team here at Charlotte Soccer Show put together. And, you know, we can lament the things that might have been for Charlotte with some missed opportunities. It's been a very up and down season, a season of extremes. But this is the best they've ever been going into the final day of a season, sitting in fourth place with a chance to defend their spot for a home playoff matchup. What do you see when you're looking at this table from a Charlotte perspective, Dax?
Well, yeah, I see that Charlotte's had a really good season. And you can't gloss over the fact that Dean Smith has been a fantastic coaching hire for this club. I was a little skeptical of Charlotte in the middle of the summer. They went on a pretty long winless run where things just weren't quite clicking for that team, for that attack. And Dean Smith showed his value. He showed his value. Wilfred Zaha stepped up in a big way. I was critical of Wilfred Zaha early in the season. He looked like he was easily frustrated by the opponent. He looked a little bit unsettled, which he was. I think it's fair to say, with all the things that were going on early in the season with him. And in the summer, he stepped up in a big way when Pep Biel went down injured and Charlotte went on that incredible winning streak, MLS record tying winning streak. Wilfred Zaha was at the heart of it. And so was Christian Kolina. And so I look at it as more of a blip from Charlotte, that long winless streak that it actually amazingly saw them fall out of the playoff picture for a game or two.
Yeah.
And then they went on that long run and got themselves back in pole position to qualify for the top four. They didn't seem like they were the Charlotte that we've all come to know in terms of defensive solidity. And then opportunistic in the attack. They were making way too many mistakes in the back. Christian Kolina had a little bit of a loss of confidence. He actually had to come out of the team. And I think Dean Smith managed that situation really appropriately, got him to refresh, got him to reset. And now he's been playing at the level we know he's capable of. He looks like one of the best goalkeepers in MLS again. So full credit to Charlotte, full credit to Dean Smith for being able to get them through that rough patch and into pole position right now to qualify for top four in the East.
Yeah. I mean, Dino's at the wheel. We talk about it all the time. We were fully dyed in the wool Dean Smith fans from the moment he took the team to Coachella in his first season and really set the tone that be different around here. I totally agree with you with Zaha. As you were commenting, I just played a couple of the highlight clips from some of his recent assists and goals.
Yeah.
And he's doing it all. And without Pep Biel, and we're looking like we probably won't have Pep Biel for the rest of the season. There's nothing official, but he sat out of training the other day. He was kind of just jogging off to the side. There's issues with hamstrings, with knees, with all of it. He's posting things on Instagram that make it seem like he might be done for the year.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything official, but we have to kind of assume we're going to go forward without him. John Hayes and I, my co-host, you haven't met him, but maybe on your third appearance he'll be able to join us. But we did an episode earlier this week and we just kind of put the idea out there that right now the club's going to go as far as Zaha and Toklamati take them. Every player on the pitch matters, but these are the two sort of talismanic players that can spark a playoff run. What you mentioned Zaha, what do you think of Toklamati?
Toklamadi's been a breath of fresh air. And I knew Charlotte liked him early in the season, even when Adjiman was there and getting the bulk of the minutes. Adjiman looked really good off the bench. He looked sharp. He looked hungry. He looked like he added another element to that attack. And it's funny, I remember an interview that I did with Dean Smith on MLS Countdown where I asked him, would you ever throw Adjiman and Toklamadi up top together? And he said, of course. You know, it just would have to make sense tactically, and then it depends on the opponent. But we're really pleased with Toklamadi. We feel like we've got another very good striker on our roster. And lo and behold, you sell Adjiman. And this is not a slight on Adjiman at all, who obviously earned his move overseas. But Charlotte, he actually looks like he's made Charlotte a little bit better in terms of a finishing efficiency standpoint. I think Toklamadi is not as physical of a profile as Adjiman. But look at if you look at some of these goals you're showing right here, where he's got an incredible leap on him in terms of being aggressive, attacking balls in the box with his head. He scored quite a few goals off set pieces this year that really surprised me. He can finish with his right foot, with his left foot. He's got really good, clever hold-up play. It's just the way that he links up the other attackers into the play, a late run in the box. He's been really, really good for Charlotte, one of the most underrated players, I think, on the season for Charlotte. And certainly when you're in the playoffs, you need your big-time players to step up. We know Zaha's played in big games before. Toklamadi, this should be his first experience playing in really high-pressure packed games where there's a lot on the line, big stakes. And so it's a tough position for a young player to be in, but I would bet based on what I've seen out of him that he is going to thrive in these high-pressure situations. Charlotte has a real special player on their hands in Toklamadi.
Yeah, I mean, those are the two guys for us. I mean, we'll take it from anywhere. Anyone who wants to contribute, Kerwin Vargas, sure. You want to get in there, BB, you want to cook in the the attacking third and score a little bit, we'll take it. We'll take it from anywhere. But my theory, at least, is that it's up on these two guys. And, of course, Kalina needs to stay in form as well. You mentioned, what's it like for players when you're an outfield player and there's that sort of goalkeeping battle going on behind you? Does that change your mindset as an outfield player, or can you help guys battle through that?
Yeah, of course. I talked to Ashley Westwood about this, and he said, listen, we know that we have the utmost faith in Christian Kalina, and all players go through their ups and downs. It's just when you're playing goalkeeper, it's the spotlight is on you pretty much all the time when it comes to making mistakes and conceding goals. If I'm a midfielder and I make a mistake, most of the time my mistakes aren't going to lead to goals because I've got a back line and a goalkeeper behind me that can help. Right. If strikers and attackers make mistakes, of course, if they miss a goal, it's amplified. But ultimately, that's not going to, I think, deter them from taking other chances. When a goalkeeper makes a mistake, it's amplified usually with a goal from the opponent. So it was a rough stretch for Christian Kalina, but he came through it well. He's a true professional from everything that I've heard about him. He took everything the right way. And to be completely honest, Charlotte handled the situation brilliantly. I think Kalina, coming off the season he had last year, maybe he got a little complacent. And I don't know that for sure. But you see what Charlotte did, bringing in David Bingham for a few games and then trading for Drake Callender from Inter Miami. That's real competition there. And it's when you have real competition at every single position, you tend to get the best out of players. And so Christian Kalina has taken the challenge head on. He's been able to solidify that position as his and look like one of the best goalkeepers in the league that we know he can be. And he's a match winner in goal if he's on his day and if he's on form. Charlotte can play the way they want to play. They can rely on great goalkeeping. They can rely on compact defending and then be able to play in space in transition. That's where I think Charlotte needs to settle in terms of how they go into the playoffs. That's their bread and butter. Make sure you give space for Zaha to be able to operate, sit a little bit deeper so you don't expose your back line. Right. Tim Ream's been fantastic again. Mm-hmm. But when he's in 1v1 situations with fast attackers, that's a problem for Charlotte. And we've seen that happen before. But when they sit a little bit deeper and when that back line has a little bit of cover and there's not so many gaps, Charlotte's a really dangerous team. And so Christian Kalina is a big part of that.
Yeah. And so the other thing that we can draw on from your vast experience as a player in this situation is the importance of this home field. It is a new playoff format with the best of three matches. I don't think you ever played under that one, but
I did.
Okay, you did. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Played in it last year. I think the format's been there for a couple years now. So I played in it with Nashville and Atlanta, but it's a weird one.
Okay, so how do you approach it then with a three-match series, and how important is home field in that situation?
Yeah, home field is extremely important, but I think even more so for a team like Charlotte, who has double the amount of wins at the bank than they do on their travels. So this game is massive for Charlotte in terms of going and getting confidence, going into the playoffs, securing that top four seed, and beating the Supporter Shield winners on the last day of the season would do wonders for them. But in terms of how the playoff format really affects things, that first game is vital. The first game is extremely important. And so, you know, if Charlotte were to be able to host that first game, I think that would be obviously set the city alight, set the city ablaze in terms of the support that they get. You know, I do believe that Charlotte has something really special that they have inside that stadium at the bank, whatever magic it is. Maybe it's the Poznan. I'm not really sure. But,
it might be a factor. Yeah, exactly.
I want to be in there for the fans doing that at some point in my analyst career.
Oh, open invite. If Weeby gets to do it, you should be able to do it, right? You know,
of course. So, look, I think home field advantage is important for Charlotte, but it's not. It's not catastrophic. Look, my Atlanta United team, you know, we turned a lot of heads beating Inter-Miami last year. We lost the first game down in Miami and ended up winning two games back-to-back in Atlanta and then in Miami again. So I would say it's not impossible if you're the road team for the majority of the playoffs, but I would say it's improbable that you're going to go on an MLS Cup run. I think the last time a team won MLS Cup that wasn't in the top four was all the way back to 2010 with the Colorado Rapids. And that's when we used to have a neutral playoff venue as well. I actually played in that MLS Cup. So that's a painful one for me. But top four seed going into the playoffs and making a deep run in MLS Cup is vital.
Yeah, so I apologize for spacing out your role in that heroic Atlanta United team last year that did turn the series on its head and go win the last two to get Messi out of there for all the rest of us fans. I do want to follow up on what you just said there. So I didn't plan to ask this, but since you brought it up, what do you have any thoughts on MLS Cup as the neutral site versus the home sites? I went to the 2023 Cup Final, LAFC at Columbus, and really enjoyed it. Loved the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I watched many MLS Cups on neutral sites on TV that seemed sparsely attended. So I kind of know in my mind where why the league went to the home field. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think it's the right move. I think that the attendance factor of it, I don't think that played into it as much as rewarding teams for their regular season success. I really firmly believe that, you know, because the Supporter Shield is a valuable trophy. I love the Supporter Shield. I think it's the best measure of who the most consistent team is throughout the season in Major League Soccer and the best team during the regular season. But you needed to find ways to reward them more in the playoffs, because the playoffs back, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, it was a lot more of a crapshoot, you know, especially if it was at a neutral venue, in terms of where MLS Cup was played. You know, a team that squeaks into the playoffs and then gets to play against a team that maybe is the best team in the league for the whole season and they play each other in MLS Cup, there's no real advantage if it's at a neutral site. And so I love the fact that the team that has the most points out of the two MLS Cup participants gets to host. Because you're guaranteed to sell the stadium out, no question about it, but also you're guaranteed to have a fantastic atmosphere and reward the team for regular season success. So I think it's the right play. I think it's the right move. And as we've seen throughout the years, MLS Cup has been amazing. Whatever venue it's been in, whether it's been in LA or whether it's been in Columbus or Toronto, it doesn't matter, rain, snow, you know, sun shining, people are going to come out and support their team.
Yeah, and do you think there's any value in the approach of, as fans, should we more look to almost, there's two separate total tournaments when you talk about the Supporter Shield, the MLS, like it's like you do the Supporter Shield and that's your season, and then you clear the slate, and then we have a separate, like, don't necessarily associate those two things together. Like, you have to earn your way in, but it's two separate trophies on the
line. Well, it is, and that's how you have to look at it. You need the the little machine from Men in Black to erase your memory, because mm-hmm. you can't rest on what you did during the season going into the playoffs. I mean, look, I'm living proof of that. My New York Red Bulls teams, we were fantastic in almost every regular season. We were either a number one seed, a Supporter Shield winner, a number two seed, a number three seed. And we always found a way to lose in the playoffs because it's just a totally different season. And it doesn't matter what you accomplished in the regular season. You have to totally change your mentality to go, okay, we're in the playoffs now. Margins are thinner. So you can't make mistakes. Everything is amplified. So yellow cards, red cards, tactically, how your coaches approach everything. Everything is amplified on a much higher scale because the pressure is that much bigger. So you don't want to totally throw away everything you did during the regular season, especially tactically. You want your players to approach the game in a relaxed state so you don't, you know, let the moment get to you too much. But you certainly have to have amnesia when it comes to your regular season success. And, you know, the teams that are able to do that are usually the teams that are able to go on these deep MLS Cup runs and end up lifting the trophy.
I love it. I absolutely love that. You mentioned, last thing I want to get to you, you mentioned the Red Bulls, all those great Red Bulls teams. And those that success of the Red Bulls got you, I know you did play in the CONCACAF Champions League, now known as the CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's a spot where John and I mentioned my co-host John, since we started this podcast 4 years ago, we talked about daring to dream of like Charlotte playing on an international stage, and now the Club World Cup, you know, looms if you have success in CCC. So this scenario does exist where Charlotte can make it if we can jump LAFC and Minnesota on decision day in this standings. I think we need a Los Angeles loss and a Minnesota draw or loss, and then we need to win to get that next best club. There's a couple other scenarios depending on who wins the MLS Cup, but what's it like playing in CONCACAF Champions Cup? We have this idea of we want to be in it so badly. Are we right to have that dream?
Yeah, absolutely. International competition is amazing. You get to travel to places that you've never been before. You get to play in front of really fun fans in really unique stadiums. And you get to travel to countries that you otherwise probably wouldn't go to. So I think it would be fantastic for a young club like Charlotte to be able to have international competition, CONCACAF Champions League, CONCACAF Champions Cup. Ultimately, that's the barometer for success in the region, right? Mm-hmm. Not just in Major League Soccer, but in the entire region, because you get to test yourself against all the conceivable best teams from around the different countries, you know, that make up CONCACAF. So I think it would be a huge success if Charlotte was able to do that. You saw the live standings right there. You're going to need some help with LAFC losing and Minnesota losing mm-hmm. to be able to pull that off. But I will say that Charlotte would be a great representative for Major League Soccer in that, especially being able to host, you know, some of those international games at the bank, being able to fight for another trophy. Charlotte has been really impressive in their growth for me in terms of how methodical it's been, in terms of, you know, just a stepping ladder to success. But now you have to start winning trophies. If you want to be talked about amongst the elite teams in Major League Soccer, the next step in that is adding trophies and making sure that you're competing for more trophies. I think Miami played in like five different competitions this year, you know, in LAFC, four competitions. Like that's the barometer for success and for greatness, is how many trophies can you compete for and then ultimately win. So, you know, Charlotte, they're kind of teetering on the brink, you know, knocking on the door of being able to jump into that kind of upper echelon of Major League Soccer team. But once they start winning trophies, they'll be talked about amongst that elite group.
Man, I'm just like, my soul is just being filled to the brim hearing you talk like that, Dax. That's what we want here in Charlotte. We have a great soccer culture here in town. I've lived here 11 years and went to a ton of USL games for Charlotte Independence. And now we've got the pro women's team, the Carolina Scent, going here. And Charlotte FC is just sort of that flagship of the soccer culture here in town. And we would absolutely love to see it. Dax, for my money, you're easily the rookie of the year in the soccer broadcasting world this year. Congrats on a great first season, wrapping it up. Going to be a great playoffs for you guys on Apple. Anything you want to say about your first year in Apple as we wrap the show up today?
No, thank you for the kind words, Danny. I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's been a great learning experience for me. I feel like a 38-year-old rookie. You know, going in and learning new things every single time I I get a microphone in front of me. So I've enjoyed it. I've got a great team. We've got a great team behind the scenes, and I feel like our shows, you know, I'm biased, but I feel like our shows continue to get better and better. And I hope people are enjoying the coverage. I hope people tune in, especially on Decision Day. Decision Day is going to be amazing. I know people are going to be locked into that Charlotte Philly game, but if you're at the bank, get up, MLS 360 on your phone, on your smartphone, because you're going to be able to have be up to date on all the action, especially with Charlotte, because you're going to want to keep an eye on that NYC Seattle game, and you're going to want to keep an eye on that Nashville Miami game. So appreciate the kind words, and best of luck to Charlotte as they head into the postseason.
Thank you, Dax. As always, y'all, it's for the crown, baby.
Cheers.